Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the second half here, we got some staff stories about being robbed. We have some trending topics. We've got the news. First, there's Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers study your specific driving conditions, and they make sure you're ready for anything, even if it rains cats and dogs. Although if my dog Phil fell on your car, probably need more than Trico to get him off the windshield. It's 110 pounds. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. No matter what your driving habits are, you'll always find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. Trico, the future of wipers. They've been around since 1917. And if you want to find a store near you that has Trico, and you also want to learn about the latest offers, you visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. That is TricoCatsAndDogs.com. Good news. Two more comedy specials taping at the Brea Improv December 15th. TJ Miller's going to join us for one of those, and Patrick Warburton is going to be on for another one. So two shows, December 15th, Brea Improv. Come on out and be part of the filming. Tickets at AdamCarolla.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, get it on. Bad roommate talk. My two roommates and I lost track of whose turn it was to do the dishes. After about a six-week dirty dish standoff where it was starting to stink and grow stuff, we went bowling. Lowest score had to do them. The roommate who lost protested, and eventually his mom came into town to do the dishes. Good time. Keep up the good work, Ace man.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
There's nothing worse than at some point when you have to cut that deal where you go, fine, we'll flip a coin. Whoever loses, and they go, they lose, and they go, I'm not doing it anyway.
Three.
That is, you people need to eat a fucking bullet. You're the worst people in the world. At some point, you have to establish some ground rules for life. And yeah, if it's a bowling game or flipping a coin, it's some, once you sign off,
that's it.
God, yeah. Don't you remember that, like, growing up? Oh, that, yeah, all course. Right, we're going to do it. You flip a coin, you got to ride in the back seat. Oh, and then they.
I cross my fingers. Ugh.
They're not down with it.
Yeah.
Have you no honor?
Oh. Sorry. We have an intro.
Maxopata. Maxopata. Oh, 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 Maxopata. Well, he stands no more than 5'3". This puffy-haired, horny, hungry Asian pygmy. Road trips with Corolla and sleeps in a drawer. Heard he's good with the ladies, Filipino man whore. Took a school bus trip all around the state. He got a big appetite, likes to clean his plate. His real name's Loxamana, but not to Adam. So we change that shit up, now we call him Maxopata.
Maxopata, Maxopata. Maxopata, Maxopata, Maxopata. Maxopata.
All right, so before we get into the trending topics, yesterday we were talking about getting robbed and if any of us have ever gotten robbed. Mm-hmm. I went around and asked some of the staff their stories. Like Gary, he had his TV stolen every year in college.
Wow.
How does that happen?
We've all had bikes stolen in college, yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Plus the TV is a much bigger
deal.
Yeah,
they're breaking into like his college, his dorm or his frat house. I don't know wherever he lived. And then Ryan, his dad was stabbed by a mugger because he refused to give up the money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Is he still with us?
Ryan? Yeah, he's right there.
No, the mugger.
Yeah, Ryan, what happened?
So I just actually called him to, because it's a little bit
the
of
the mugger?
When I was younger, it was like, oh, like that's pretty cool. Like my dad got stabbed because he refused to give up his wallet. And like it turned out there was no money in the wallet, which is
wow.
But yeah, he was like,
it's a man of principle.
Yeah. He was going home and he was super drunk because one of their friends apparently just got a sales job and he got like a corporate card and he just bought everyone drinks. Mm-hmm. And so he was like stumbling home and their ride like took off with a girl. So they were trying to find a payphone to like crash at somebody's place. He went up to a payphone while his other buddy, who's like a tiny guy, is passed out on like a doorstep, like fully passed out. And instead of like going up to him, they went up to my dad, who's at the payphone, and like he turned around and thought like, oh, it's my buddy, like fucking with me. And yeah, they just like started like pummeling him, and like he was like holding the one guy with one hand, he was holding the knife.
So funny.
And he was just getting pummeled in the face, like just for just yeah.
Where
and,
was this?
It was in San Francisco.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're number one.
And did they get his wallet?
Nope, never got the wallet.
Yeah.
And how badly was he stabbed?
I mean, they stabbed him in the leg and the stuff. Like, imagine one guy was behind him with a knife and he was holding that,
Jesus.
The wrist with one arm. And then the other guy was literally just getting free pummelings on his face.
I always, you know, maybe it's my medium to low self-esteem, but I could see a world where I went to somebody like, give me your watch. But if, once they said no. The vigorous beating, like you should have given me this thing that I didn't buy. It's weirdly inspired, isn't it? It's like I feel like it's a big energy,
a lot of moxie.
Like when people
just
really
move on to the next watch.
Are just like beating the fuck out of someone who, by the way, didn't engage in a behavior they wouldn't have engaged in if somebody asked them for their watch. Like, I get the part where you want the watch and you want some drugs or you want some money or life has not dealt you a good hand, but the vigorous beating, like, is if you know, those kinds of things where it's like, if I ever found the guy who raped my daughter off, I got my hands up. Except for you've never met this person.
Yeah.
And you asked him for a watch.
Yeah.
Or a wallet.
Right. Where's Timex.
Where's the energy come from?
Yeah.
Where's the motivation?
Where's the passion
it's a
come
business
from?
Transaction.
Yeah. Once I didn't get the wallet, I'd be like, yeah, hey, okay, I was kidding. I'm just going to find somebody else.
Yeah, so there's some other issues.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Well, that reminded me, a friend of mine, my husband's very dear friend, this woman, she's from another country. She came here, and a year into her living here, she got mugged and stabbed on Hollywood Boulevard because she was trying to grab her. Somebody tried to grab her friend's purse, and so they kind of got in a tug of war, and they stabbed her on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, somebody just got shot and killed outside of a restaurant in Hollywood because they accosted a woman. He got out of the car and they got shot. I mean, it was right in the middle of Hollywood.
Like, so these are real threats.
These are real threats.
Yeah. I've had garden shears pulled on me when I was a cashier at the
TJ
Maxx. He switched the tags and I caught him. I'm like,
get to work.
This purse isn't this much. I think we're going to have to do a price check. And he just flashed the garden shears. He's like, just put it in the bag.
Wow.
Yeah. And I did. I sure did.
Were they?
Oh, my God.
But there were garden shears that he brought in.
Yeah, they were in his pocket. They just just flashed them at me, and then
wow.
And then he left. And I've always been confused by this because all the jobs were like we've been robbed or like people did that because they did it to other cashiers too, or like if you're at a restaurant and somebody walks out on the check, it's totally illegal to do anything about it. I guess to go after them.
I wonder if that law's changed because when I worked in the grocery store, it was me and a lot of other teenagers, obviously working bagging and whatever. And on the couple of occasions that someone like ran out with something, oh, it was fucking game on. It was a chance for the kid to
really?
Street justice.
Yeah.
I wasn't the one who did it. It was a chance for the other baggers or checkers to go make a tackle, open field tackle.
I know it like Urban Outfitter and stuff like that. Once their feet are out of the store, you can't chase them. That's their rule.
Yeah.
But also, like, you don't get paid enough to go run down thieves. That's your job.
Bonus.
Yeah. That's what my manager's trying to tell me. Just let it go. He just told me, just let it go.
Right.
I had a flashback to something I don't think I've mentioned ever, maybe on the podcast, or it's been 10 years, but I've never really been on the losing end of like your violent-y street crime. Most of it is heads kind of always on a swivel, and I'm always kind of I approach that like I drive, you know, stay away, keep some distance.
Defensive walking.
A lot of defensive walking going. I mean, it's unavoidable sometimes, but
you're playing zone.
I play a lot of zone, but I did.
You're not playing press coverage.
I went to go visit my friend John Tyler, who had a job at the Vans store. Vans used to just have one little shack in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
They opened up a bigger one down Laurel Canyon, but they started with this small little shack right on Laurel off of Riverside or Magnolia, right in between.
Valley.
It was like a little shack. And he worked there, and it was at night. Maybe they were open till 8 or 9 or something. And one of the other van stores was, like, robbed at gunpoint. And we were just alone in this little shack. There wasn't anybody in there. And I said to him, well, what happened? He's like, black guy came in, asked if they had Adidas, and then tied up everybody in there and robbed them. And I was like the idea of being tied up in the back, you know, so I mean, about 10 seconds later, black guy walked in. He's like, do you have Adidas?
And it's and like we're, the wet bandits.
We're both just like standing there, just kind of looking at him, kind of frozen.
Goes up like a spike.
And like my buddy John's like, no, we just have Vans. And
Prince Albert
like,
in a can.
Looked at me and he like looked at John. He's like, okay. And he's walked out. And I don't know if they were going to do something, but spotted, you know, I was playing football, pretty well built. Like maybe just thought, I don't want to handle two guys. But it was weird and it was super scary. And that's about as close as I've gotten to
Thank
that.
God, they didn't have Adidas.
Yeah.
Dawson said he had a story. He didn't tell me, but he just prefaced that it's going to totally break my heart. So I'm curious.
Boy. A couple decades ago, my brother had a guitar stolen out of the back of his Honda Civic. This guitar was a 1937 Martin acoustic. Kaylin will throw a picture of what that guitar looks like.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
The most recent one that sold.
Oh, no.
Sold for $52,000. So the drug addict who smashed in my brother's mirror and just picked the guitar up because my brother just left it in the case right there. In a bad neighborhood, and it breaks my family's heart. It makes me want to fucking cry.
Yeah.
It was my grandfather's 1937, pre-World War II, Martin acoustic, the most precision guitar ever made in history.
It's also the plot of Coco.
Really?
Well, there was
it's the B plot.
Did and he sold it for $18.
Pawned it for maybe $100, $80.
Wow.
Had no idea what guy stole.
Damn.
Back then, it was appraised sight unseen 30 years ago for $42,000.
Wow.
And
your brother knew that?
No way.
We all knew. He just. His girlfriend lived in a bad neighborhood, and he was staying over there. And
bring it in.
I don't
bring
know.
Bring his guitar in.
Bring it in.
Yeah, you can't travel with a guitar.
Oh,
I bring it in restaurants. I've had my guitar stolen out of the car before.
Oh, this old thing, I might as well.
Yeah.
I don't know your brother, Dawson, but is it possible that this is all an elaborate ruse?
No.
To abscond with the
glass
guitar?
And a Honda Honda Accord rear window, that's $126. But full ownership of the guitar grandpa gave me
and four Hondas.
And Mike Dawson.
He would have something to show for it other than my mother's broken heart.
For a coat for Goodfellas.
Well, it could still be sitting on it.
No.
Ready to take that thing to auction. Okay. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep our eyes peeled. And lastly, Matt Fondelier had his car stolen when he was in Mexico.
Yeah.
That adds up.
Yeah. Many a year ago when I had my long-distance relationship, I would drive over with my señorita, and we woke up one morning, and my 97 Acura Integra was gone, completely gone.
Mm.
I had to take a bus back home to North Hollywood. It was one of the saddest days of my life.
Wow. At least... You know, you save them the trouble of stealing it and taking it to Mexico. You know what I mean?
El Chapo should be so lucky.
At least you cut out a middleman because there had to be somebody in charge of looking the other way when the flatbread brought it into Mexico. But you brought the mountain to Mohammed.
That's window right. Negligence.
Did they ever find it?
They did, actually. The car was my very first car. So it was a car that my parents had purchased for me.
Oh.
So the car was in my dad's name. And whoever stole my car attempted to sell it to somebody else. And that person was trying to re-register the car. Mm. And so my dad got a notice that someone was trying to re-register this car. And so on a future trip to Mexico, I met with a rando and a police officer in like a supermarket parking lot.
It's a car
and had to
shit.
Give cash to a police officer to help negotiate and get my car back.
Oh, you greased the
really?
Wheel.
And nice. It had no hubcaps. The radio was stolen and the catalytic converter was taken, but I was able to drive that hunk of junk back across the border.
Boy, that must have sounded sweet without that catalytic yeah. converter.
And no radio or anything. It was awful.
Just pure open exhaust.
What was the scene at the border where this car is obviously used to mule drugs being driven by that Matt fucking Pontellier?
Yeah, I definitely was like, you're not going to believe this. But they let me back over.
You drove it all the way back to North Hollywood?
I did.
Oh,
wow.
God. Yep.
It's your penance.
And yeah, I'm trying to think of how even – I don't think a modern car would work if you removed the catalytic converter. The computer would probably tell it something. But a lot of people hacking out catalytic converters.
It's a big deal right now in Long Beach. All the Prii are getting hit.
Prii?
Yes.
They
like,
have.
I'm scared.
Wait, they don't have catalytic converters. Well,
I think they do.
Yeah, they're getting hit. Like
I've heard about Priuses.
Oh, they're not all plug-in electric.
No.
Yeah, hybrid electric. Right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, they have a catalytic converter. Yeah.
Why is that such a big thing?
It has expensive metals in it. I think it has like platinum or something. It the catalytic converter, I think, works by superheating the exhaust and essentially burning off whatever you don't want right. in the atmosphere. So it's kind of in the middle of the car.
Audible, take this one. Gina, imagine a nice pair of shoes or a handbag. Now, those might be more valuable to you than the average person.
Indeed.
But they have a certain value of the material.
Oh, yeah. So it's a nice leather, yeah, not just thick, because it has yeah, the serial number.
Stitching.
Thank you, Brian. I'm so glad somebody could explain this to me.
So you got to go. I don't know what it's like with the Prius, but you know, you got the engine in the front. You got the exhaust manifold right. that bolts to the engine and just a pipe that goes down, and then in the middle catalytic converter. They've moved it closer, I think, to the exhaust or something to the engine, but anyway, and then from that part back just muffler and
so
that kind of stuff.
To get to the catalytic converter, don't you have to fuck up the rest of the car to get in there?
You get under it.
You
push
get
with
under
the handbag.
You know, it's funny. I wasn't really talking about it. I didn't talk about it, but I've been thinking about it. And I was thinking about it as it pertained to these looters and the Home Depot and all that kind of stuff. You know, battery operated tools used to be pretty much just a 9.6 volt Makita screwdriver. Now they have battery everything, and they're powerful.
Or they're lithium ion,
and,
right?
And
they go
work.
Forever.
They work, and they have like you know when I used to work in the trades, you'd have a Sawzall, be a bayonet saw, or reciprocating saw, and you had to plug it in because there's no battery powerful yeah. enough. Now everyone uses battery operated Sawzalls. You get a battery operated Sawzall. You put the bi-cutting metal blade on it, and you get a little can of WD-40. There's no chain or schoolyard or catalytic converter. You just buzz.
Hot butter.
You just buzz right through everything. So I think a lot of those guys are just cutting them out.
Yeah, that's what's happening. It's like a 3-minute job. Like you just go in there, you get it, and you're
it's
gone
a thing.
Before anybody
I've heard about this.
Notices.
And
but your market is people who've had their catalytic converter stolen.
They're just swapping them around town.
That happened to me with hubcaps. I had my hubcaps stolen, and I went on Craigslist to see if there were any similar hubcaps being sold. And this guy, like two blocks down, was selling hubcaps that were my size. Mm-hmm. And I went there, and then as I'm buying, I'm like, am I buying back my own hubcaps?
I'm not an expert in catalytic converters, but I don't really think you go through catalytic converters. If you need a catalytic converter, it's not like a battery where right. it's been 5 years,
right.
now it's on
right.
the fritz,
swap
I need a new
out.
Battery. You pretty much have that catalytic converter. I mean, I can open it up to the people here, but I've never had to replace
never
a catalytic
once.
Converter.
Only
you
when
have
it's
to
stolen.
Replace it when it's stolen.
Yeah.
And you're essentially creating your own market because you right. steal enough of them and everyone needs one.
Yeah, you're just holding them for ransom, essentially.
It's like Bitcoin.
I thought they were getting it for the valuable, just the valuable metal, and they can sell it to
I don't know. Ryan? Kalen? I don't know. Someone can look into it. I think it has platinum or something in there. And it is a valuable metal. And the version of that is actually when I did that stand-up truth yeller with Leno. Leno was explaining.
Oh, your car friend?
Yeah, my car guy buddy. They steal copper.
Yeah.
They'll pull the wire out.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Sopranos.
Steel piping. Jay's like, they stole a whole copper main valve, like in his shop. Like they were just doing like big time work with the water supply. This come and take that Sawzall, man. Copper, you can cut copper like butter with a Sawzall blade. Kids, are you listening? And you just buzz right through it and take it with you. And four blocks from here is the recycling center, and you just walk in with that.
But yeah, you're right. I'm looking at this here, and it says they're expensive because of the rare and precious metals they use to construct them.
But are people – and there's platinum, palladium, and rhodium, I guess – but are they melting them down, or are they just selling them back to people? Yeah, I don't know.
There's a limited market.
Well, again, you steal the copper to go to the copper place and sell them the copper, not to sell to homeowners as piping.
Right.
But in this case, I don't think it's analogous.
It's a blend of materials.
I think in this case, you're selling the catalytic converter back, and you should know by the sound of it. Don't you? Chris, didn't you say you knew somebody who got their catalytic converter stolen?
My girlfriend. Yeah, well, Matt too. My girlfriend, you know it, you got it stolen because your car sounds like one of Adam's race cars. The whole neighborhood.
Throaty.
Very throaty, loud. Yeah, it's you'll know instantly. And it doesn't drive nearly as well either. You can totally tell when you're driving it, but no acceleration.
When I was a kid, my house got broken into. And they
both doors.
They left. I think they just took one. Maybe they left through the other. I remember first off feeling sorry for the thieves. Like my mom's. My mom, if she had a mattress, it was on the floor. Like she didn't have a box.
How embarrassing!
There was nothing. About the only thing they could steal is we probably had a TV set. Mm. They probably stole that. But I remember them leaving a Coke can in there, and it was just. It was extra creepy. I don't know why.
It's so creepy.
Stuff behind people. Yeah. Clean up after yourselves. You've caused enough emotional damage for the day.
So that's where it started with you saying, I don't care if you are here, but I don't want to know it.
I don't want to know it.
Yeah.
Like a cat burgling in and out.
So my friend got robbed. His house got robbed. And the creepiest thing was they found that he ate their ice cream. And like that bothered me for some reason. Like he ate their ice cream and left it out, and then and he used their shower. It's like that's violating, right?
It's
like that's
funny.
That changes everything.
It's very intimate and weird. It's funny you should say that. I didn't use it for news because it didn't pertain to anything. But there was a news story yesterday saying that this dude broke into this house, of course, stole the family's Christmas presents, and stopped to water their lawn. And when the neighbor said, like. You know, who are you? And she goes, I just assumed he was there doing her yard work. But they can't figure out why he stopped to water their lawn.
I think a lot of this, whether it's shitting in my bathtub or leaving the Coke or eating the ice cream, I think we're dealing with crazed drug addicts here.
Yeah.
And so we should probably stop trying to figure out why.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this here.
So Joe Biden, well, actually, Jill Biden, First Lady Jill Biden, was trending because they unveiled the 2021 Christmas decorations. The First Lady took over and did it. So they put them
up. She's a doctor. What's she wasting her time with?
I think this is the First Lady. It's an honor to say thing like Melania had.
She had
those Handmaid's Tale red trees.
The blood trees.
Yeah.
But let's look at Jill's decorations. So they posted these. They put them up. And everybody's – the general consensus for the trees and the decorations was boring.
Oh, really?
Wait, like, yeah. Isn't that what the Bidens promised?
Yeah. They're like, where's the color? It's ugly. It's nicer than anything I've ever done. But
it's nice.
I think the decoration of the White House for Christmas is now veered into the realm of throwing out the first pitch. It's a no-win proposition.
Yeah. Exactly.
At this point. You want to go Euro stylish as Milana, you get fucking crucified. You go traditional, you get crucified.
Look, there's even snowflake gobo lights on the ceiling. That's whimsical.
Yeah. I'd,
I don't mind this.
Yeah, I know, it's nice.
41 Christmas trees, 6,000 feet of ribbon, over 10,000 ornaments, but yeah, nobody's impressed.
Dawson, Kaylin, you got to look at. There was a very glowing review in the New York Times, I think, about it.
Oh, you don't say.
Glowing. Melania's. Well, now we got this.
Nonsense.
Yeah, we're talking about Melania. Like, yeah, she infamously said, like, on that secret recording that, you know, decorating Christmas, or who cares?
She's right.
And then, and she had those blood trees.
You know, she's like, don't we have bigger problems? What do I have to sit here and design a Christmas tree?
Well, I don't want to upset you more, but the in the article that was glowing about Dr. Jill Budden, they said she'd been working on it since May.
I don't like that.
I was like, oh,
I don't like
go
that.
Go down to the border. Go and take care of business.
I don't like it.
Look, in her defense, if I had to decorate something like this, it'd take me all year. Like,
yeah.
This is extravagant. I mean, over 100 volunteers.
This wouldn't be your only job.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I like traditional.
It is a thankless job, though, Adam. And I was thinking of thankless jobs. We hosted Friendsgiving this year, and I had to cook the turkey because we were hosting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care for turkey. It's always dry. Nobody.
The man who eats shrimp tails is turning his nose up at turkey.
I am.
It checks out.
I don't care. I don't care if I had to cook two of them. Okay, and I'm not going to have somebody else come to my house and cook turkey in my oven. And
Jesus, you're a man of principle.
Yeah.
Pee on the turkey.
I love turkey, but I'm sort of with you. If you said to me, "Would you like a steak versus turkey?" I'd go. I guess I'll take the steak. Right. I mean, any other day of the year, if you want to measure it that way. If you said pork roast, I'd probably take the pork roast.
Yeah.
There's many beef offerings I love, and turkey probably be down somewhere around salmon or something if you're asking me. But
it's so boring any other time of the year. Turkey sandwich, we don't need it. So yeah, I was thinking about that and just like you can't. But and it takes so much time in the oven. Like nobody else can heat up their sides because I've been cooking a turkey for
all this time.
What's
trending in Chris's house?
Sorry, but anyway, speaking of trending though. They're looking at the Biden's Christmas decorations. They said it was ugly, but I'll tell you what is not ugly. Joe Biden's Secret Service agent. So he did an event in Massachusetts, and there the Secret Service agent. We don't know his name. He was there, and everybody.
I was a chick.
Hot bitch.
No, it's a dude. And do you know what a thirst trap is, Adam? Mm-hmm. Because we are looking at a thirst trap. This dude, they're comparing him to Tom Cruise from Top Gun. Like, he's just, I mean, there's a close-up picture of him, Kaelin, so you can kind of see, because that one's a little pixely. That one's a little bit better. But everyone on TikTok.
For lack of a better word, a civilian and not a Hollywood celebrity, I get it.
Yeah, come for Joe Biden. You stayed for the Secret Service.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. In a weird way, like, you know, all hockey players or most hockey players are good-looking. Like, swimmers and stuff, it's like it's a kind of a body you have, or 7/8 of it is, well, you can't be a slob and play hockey,
right.
You know. You can't be a slob and be a Secret Service, you know, you can't be the mall cop.
Right.
And you can't be, you know, there's a certain age, probably age out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fit in your pants pretty well there. So it strikes me that you're going to get just like hockey players are just sort of good looking dudes. Like you're going to get a self-selecting group of generally
handsome.
I'd say. Did you find that article, by the way?
Yeah, their praise of Joe Biden's decorations were about how normal it looked
in
comparison to previous years. And it also confirmed that, yes, her office had been working on them since May.
Oh, my God.
Well, give the article to Dawson just because he'll love reading it. It'll make him laugh. But
you know
keep going.
You know, we talk about, like, God, I wish I was a student nowadays where grades don't matter and you don't have to show up. I would love the job as Jill Biden's Christmas decorating helper. Yeah, that's their job since May?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
Buying ornaments, getting holly.
Getting holly. Sounds like a porn. Sounds like a Christmas porn.
Getting holly.
Pegging holly.
Holly. Pegging holly.
Well, Dawson, did you got it, Dawson?
Yes. Come on.
Popping up on the computer.
It's giving me a pop-up. Give me a second.
While he's pulling it up, another thing that was trending was Purple Rain. And I went to go see why. And author Don Winslet tweeted out, You can only have three film soundtracks.
No.
Three. What are your three? And I'll tell you the top three that were there. It was Purple Rain, Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, boy.
At one time, the best-selling album ever.
And Waiting to Exhale. Those are the three top trending albums.
Waiting to Exhale, like a lot of Motown or something?
It's R&B.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, that's really racist.
I'm going.
That actually,
I'm pretty sure
know.
It is.
I'm going Fantasia.
Fantasia's good.
Taboo 2.
Just the one song.
Still counts.
Taboo 3.
Wow. In that order.
Oh yeah.
There's one answer and one answer only. The greatest soundtrack of all time is A Hard Day's Night.
Mm.
The Beatles' first all-original album, featured every song featured in the movie, start to finish. It's fucking timeless.
How about something like Reservoir Dogs or something? Where just have
it's not
a soundtrack.
Yeah,
but like just have
musical.
All these songs from all these.
I don't like soundtracks are just amalgamations of popular songs. Like make the songs for the Saturday Night Fever. Make
them
for the movie.
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking about my favorites and barring any musicals. Harold and Maude, because it's all Cat Stevens.
That's
and at
true.
The time, he said, if
that's
you want to hear
soundtrack.
These songs, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear these songs, you have to see the movie. And Magnolia, which is almost exclusively Aimee Mann. And those songs are fantastic. And I know it's not the same, but I mean, Oh Brother, Where Art, that was a fucking work of art, that soundtrack.
The top five selling all time, The Bodyguard, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Fever, then Dirty Dancing, Titanic, and Grease.
Sure.
Brian, are you watching the Beatles documentary?
I'm saving it where I can watch it start to finish.
Me too.
7 hours.
Yeah, it's going to take you a long time.
I know. I'm such a fucking Beatles nerd. I've seen the original several times, and it's rough. It's like rough around the edges. It's not polished at all.
This is Peter Jackson.
Did they do some color correction and stuff with it?
Are you familiar with They Shall Not Grow Old, the World War I documentary?
Yes.
The color. Peter Jackson did that, the director of Lord of the Rings, and now he's doing this treatment to the Beatles' original Let It Be documentary. He's turning into a 7-hour restoring.
And he's digitally
restoring
like
it.
They did with the World War I doc. Sorry. Yeah,
not footage. Colorizing, but restoring.
What was the name of that one?
Let It Be.
No.
The original. Shall Not Grow Old.
They Shall Not Grow Old.
Really well, good. That's the World War
I
documentary. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have the article?
Yes. Jill Biden's White House Christmas looks very normal. You won't find any blood-red trees this year. Gone are the blood-red trees. Gone are the icy, sparkling boughs and the imagery of a woman isolated in a winter wonderland.
Oh, my.
Or a horror story,
oh my.
Depending on your point of view.
I say this to Drew on a daily basis. You went to journalism school for something. Like, weren't you going to go to Honduras and blow the lid off the whole arms for Contras
hostages.
Or something? Yeah. You're writing fucking hit pieces on.
Wait.
This journalist is holding a grudge here.
Please tell. This is an op-ed, though, yes? This must be an op-ed.
This
didn't run on.
But keep going. It'll make you laugh.
In their place, red and white striped knit stockings with green heels.
Normal.
Dangling brightly from a hearth. Family photos, handwritten thank you notes, and an arch of presents in bright red boxes.
That's nice.
The Biden White House Christmas decor unveiled on Monday isn't nearly as stylized or surreal as the Trump-endorsed looks that preceded them. Oh, it's plenty cheerful and sparkly. But in the context of recent White House holiday styles, it's positively accessible.
They could have done anything.
That's true. They could have really low-played it.
In this, it is fully in line with the tactile, unpretentious image that the current first couple likes to project.
I would argue that if you had a degree in sociology or education, but you insisted on being called Dr. Jill Biden, that is the most pretentious of all. If we insist, or you insist your wife be called Dr. when she does not have leading people to believe there may be some medical degrees in there. I think that is pretentious, but go ahead.
The president and the first lady, just like us. Their home is your home, only a little more so. It did, after all, require 6,000 feet of ribbon, over 300 candles, more than 10,000 ornaments, and about 78,750 holiday lights to dress the White House for the holidays, according to the Office of the First Lady. That may sound extravagant, but like Jill Biden herself, whose unofficial job it is to oversee the decoration, the effect was rather homey. Social media categorized it as normal. Whether the response was complimentary or pejorative, it nodded to part of her husband's campaign cell, a return to normalcy after the turbulence and extremes of the Trump years.
Brian, Hillary Clinton.
Since his election, it's been an underlying theme, a foundational element of Build Back Better. For the holidays, it's gifts from the heart.
All right.
Wow.
I can't wait to wait like a female president. It's up to a guy.
I was just thinking about that.
What would that look like?
Beer cans.
Man caves.
Well,
strippers with Santa hats.
Well, wouldn't it be great if we had like kind of that King Ralph, you know, first husband
the
or
first
something?
The first dude.
Yeah.
We could have had him there doing something.
I'll call
him
a charge husband.
Yeah, like we need you to decorate. Fuck that. Not doing
Game
that.
Down.
Get some silly string.
I'm going to be on the roof with a gun in case the shit goes down.
A big mouth Billy Bass.
Yeah. Well, if Kamala gets in there, then she'll have that guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of her husband's name.
I can't either.
Name.
I always forget.
He has a... You forget about... You know what's interesting? I've noticed it with a lot of...
Douglas.
Folks in
Douglas.
General, there's a lot of weird names in this country, last names. I mean, that I wasn't.
Emhoff.
Yeah, Emhoff. There's a lot of political appointees whose name I can't pronounce. There's a lot of like school shooters and stuff. Like, I'm going, where are all these? What happened to the Williams and the Jones or even the ones that, you know, were a little more exotic that you grew up with, but you didn't look at it and go, I don't know how to I don't know how to pronounce it.
This is your finest Ernest Lee Bigot segment.
That's right.
What I can't pronounce the damn names.
That's right.
Williams and Jones.
I had dinner with Adam. He, like, rifles off his elementary school, like, classes, like, everybody in there. Like, he knows all their last names. So
they're good old – that was good old normal America back
that's
then.
Right.
All right, let's wrap this show, and we'll have to do more of these because we barely ever get to them.
I know. I'm having a good time. Well, thanks. Listen to Water Cooler.
Max Lopata. His real name's Lopsavana.
Let me tell you about Edmunds. Thanks to Edmunds for sponsoring this show. There's car shortages out there, and that's increased demand. Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Keep track of everything that's happening in the market. Help you shop with confidence. There's a huge opportunity to trade in, sell your vehicle now to maximize your cash for your next purchase because they're offering a lot for the previously owned cars. Get an instant cash offer for your trade-in online at Edmunds. Spend less time stressing at dealerships and get most of the shopping done without leaving your home. So if you're looking for a new ride, you got to go with Edmunds. Right, Dawson?
Car shopping can be stressful. Edmunds is here to help. Visit Edmunds.com to get your free online appraisal today and start searching for vehicles in your area. That's EDMUNDS.com. For cars, there's Edmunds.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with Gina Grad and the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gina Grad.
News with Gina Grad.
Well, we have another Cuomo update, but this time it's not the Cuomo sexual you're thinking of. It's Chris. He was suspended indefinitely by CNN on Tuesday as the network investigates his conduct, conduct related to his brother, as we now know, the disgraced former governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, who was forced to resign amid his allegations of sexual harassment. CNN released a statement, and this is what it said. The New York Attorney General's office released transcripts and exhibits Monday that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense. The documents, which were not privy, we were not privy to before their public release, raised serious questions. When Chris admitted to us he had offered advice to his brother's staff, he broke our rules, and we acknowledge that publicly. But we also appreciate the unique position he was in and understood his need to put his family first and his job second. However, these documents point to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than we previously knew. As a result, we have suspended Chris indefinitely, pending further evaluation. And Chris Cuomo has also admitted that he would reach out to sources to find information about his brother's accusers who hadn't come forward yet.
Well, a couple things. One is the real victim here is Jeffrey Toobin, because all everyone goes is that guy was caught beating off on Zoom and he only got a slap in his non-jack in hand. And now he's back. He came. He was suspended. He's going to do this Toobin thing all again. And Jeffrey Toobin must have been. And you have the tape that always makes me laugh. But he's like, I'm going to go down. I'm going to show up. I'm going to sit down with this shrew. I'm going to fucking take it one more time in the ass, and let's never bring this up again.
Yeah.
It'll turn the page. Sorry, this is the most uncomfortable ever exchange.
Let's bring in CNN chief legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin to talk about this and more. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Allison.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, indeed.
I feel like we should address what's happened in the months since we've seen you, since some of our viewers may not know what has happened. So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from The New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes.
This is not necessary.
You were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN.
Just
do I have all that right?
You got it all right. Sad to say.
Wow.
Unnecessary. Who the fuck is this?
By the way, you're doing a Zoom call. You were caught masturbating on camera. Like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Otherwise,
we didn't have a court sketch artist in my fucking den, bitch. Like,
we didn't jump out for a surprise party.
We did the math on the Zoom call camera part. It's not, I didn't speak about it. I was caught on camera. If this chick has a daughter, I guarantee she's going to have an eating disorder. I guarantee this is an eating disorder mom.
Yeah.
I can smell them coming down the road.
You want to talk about what she did?
Doing. You want to talk about what happened to my milk duds? Tubin's like, oh, fuck.
And he took it with great, he took it on the chin. He kind of made a joke out of it.
Well, the thing about it is you would assume that, A, it's a colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they were going to do is, if it needed to be addressed, it would be sugarcoated in such a way where you could just go, you were caught doing inappropriate things, and many people, rightfully so, may have been offended by it. So we took a blah blah blah, and then we just get on. Right. She dragged that shit out about as long. That's Allison Camerata. She dragged that on about as far as she could do it.
It was. I mean, I get it. We get it.
She has twin daughters.
Oh.
They're both going to have eating disorders.
They add up to one daughter.
Yeah, they pit each other against each other.
Oh, no. The one will be spared when she has gender reassignment surgery at some point. So I say one goes trans and the other goes eating. That's me.
I say they go eating disorder in two different directions.
Oh, one eats, is anonymous.
Yep. And in one's like, am I pretty enough for you now, Mom?
Good call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, maybe we'll see Chris again. Maybe we won't.
I don't know. She's an attractive woman, but I'm sure her man carves out a little time to take care of his own business on occasion. God forbid he ever gets caught.
Would you like to talk about what you did? You were on the laptop.
Jesus. I mean, she fucking hates that guy, man.
So Toobin's really the one who's getting it here, because everyone's just bringing up Toobin again.
Jeffrey Toobin was trending.
He just wanted, let's just put this in our rearview mirror and never have to look back. No, he is. Now, I also think about...
That was mean.
I also think about... I don't know if Chris Cuomo's – I don't know if their mom is still alive, but do you want to talk about how the mighty have fallen? Remember the mom – what was the mom looking like a year ago?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got one guy who's saving New York City. He's writing books.
Best-selling books.
He's on every night with the other son. He's crushing the ratings. Mm-hmm. They're on together. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it comes to, like, proud mama – I don't know that you, you know, you could have two sons in the NFL, Mrs. Barber.
Tiki and Rondé's mom?
That's right. Gina, why didn't you jump in?
Sorry.
Matilda Cuomo.
Yeah, I think she's still with us.
You could have two sons in the NFL. That'd be pretty good. But governor of New York and, you know, the lead guy at CNN, I don't know if you're going to do much better than that in the mama department. Boy, was that a fucking slap in the face. She's 90.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Heart can't take this.
Hold on. Before you go to your grave. Hold on, I got something for you.
There you go. Guys helping
two disgraced sons. There
you go. Remember those two guys you never stopped talking about? Yeah.
You had such knockers for?
Oh, God. It's got to be, yeah.
How
for,
was that
for her, because you can go individually, you can break up the governor and Chris Cuomo, but the mom gets both.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm sure leading up into this episode, she was probably beaming and talking about, you know, what Mario's doing and Chris is doing. And
who do you think, which mother was prouder at the height of her son's powers, Mrs. Cuomo or Mrs. Weinstein?
Oh, they're going to throw Mrs. Carolla in there.
Well, but, we know the answer to that.
Weinstein named the company
that's
after
right,
the parents.
Miramax. And the
really?
Yes. And
the
two brothers in the business, you know, Bob and Harvey.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I never knew it.
Best picture for prestige pictures.
Yeah. Which mom had more pull at the time of New York?
God. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good
something
good
to
Paul.
Think about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about some other proud moms, because they have their kids as People Magazine's People of the Year for 2021.
Hmm?
Pretty female leaning, the People of the Year.
Oh, the People
of
the Year.
Yeah, People Magazine's People of the Year.
Did they do the 100 most or 50 most or something?
Well, there are three individuals and a group. And I know how you feel about, like, the group, like the reporter or the whatever. Well, I'll tell you, they have America's Teachers.
Oh. Are the People of the Year?
Is one of the People of the Year. Mm. Also Simone Biles, because they feel that she shed light on mental health when she tapped out of the Olympics.
But she's not a people. She's a person.
Yeah, but they are not doing person
she
anymore. There's so many People of the Year.
All right.
Sandra Oh. She spoke out against anti-Asian violence and harassment.
Well, no shit. She's Asian.
Yes.
Ooh.
And, Sandra Oh.
And my,
yeah, it takes a lot of courage to speak out against violence against your own. That's a fucking ballsy move right there.
Made her a person
she
of the year.
She took a stand. All right.
And my personal favorite.
Hey, anyone starts talking shit about Italian guys who like racing vintage race cars, guess who's going to be first to the podium? This podcaster right here.
Yeah.
Sandra Oh.
So she's one of them.
She spoke out.
And
did it do anything?
Well, here's the thing. And I know I'm going to sound biased. And let's take the teachers out of the equation. But like Simone Biles, Sandra Oh, it's like, okay. I mean, I see why headlines were made. But
I would argue Simone Biles could have been more effective speaking out against anti-Asian.
Oh, interesting.
I think she probably catch the ear of the people that there were anti-Asianing a little better than Sandra was. But
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, my personal favorite, Dolly Parton, not only for her extensive work in children's literacy, but her massive donation she gave to Moderna, which ended up being, you know, what people call the Dolly shot.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have
she,
no way of verifying this, Adam. This could all be bullshit.
I know.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Well done.
It's interesting because I don't know if this is going to mean anything to anybody else, but Jada Boomrod is a – fuck you. He's a host of the show Radiolab. And it's this interesting connection because I like that show and it's kind of sciencey and interesting.
Jada Boomrod.
Yeah. His father is a doctor, best friends with Dolly, which is how Jad got her to do that Dolly series and who gave her the shot for Moderna. So he works there. So I like those little nerdy connections. But she does not take praise. She's a humble woman from Pigeon Forge. So here's a clip of Dolly attempting, after she deflects and says, I get more credit than I deserve. This is her attempting to stay neutral about the vaccine because, you know, her whole thing is about staying out of politics.
At that time, I know that when I got my first shot, I had said, don't be a chicken squat, get on out and get your shot, encouraging people to get it. I thought people were just waiting in line, everybody, to get it once it was out there. But later I realized that there were a lot of people that, you know, that didn't want to take it for whatever their reasons were. So I didn't pursue that, telling people to do this and do that, because I'm not one to tell people what to do. I completely understand every side of everything. I try to stay neutral.
How about the Holocaust?
But I'm happy that I was part of that, and I'm happy that I got vaccinated.
Sorry,
and I just hope and pray that this whole thing will be over and that we'll see a better time coming in the future.
It's a little long. I'm a little long in the tooth for this. I don't think I could pull it off. But I think I will advise my kids to pick up some kooky religion early. Later on, you may have to play the it goes against my religious. Maybe you want to get out of the draft. Maybe you don't want to get vaxxed. Maybe there's something at work, you know.
Right. Conscientious
could be
objector.
Some, you might, at some point, you're going to be forced to produce pronouns or something. Just pick up a light religion. Let's get a picture of you in like a prayer shawl or something, you know, something we can put a time stamp on. At some point when someone goes, I need you to produce some reason why you can't eat this.
Scrambling for a Bible.
Yeah, maybe we want to get a specialty meal on a flight or something. But let's create a little history like Lori Loughlin did with the kid, you know what I mean?
On the rowboat.
I'll mock up a little ceremonial thing. We'll get a few shots of you up there. Just something when they ask.
Interesting.
You know, I don't know how, like, when you go, you know, I work for UPS. Well, you must be vaccinated unless if you'd like to come back to work. And then you go, well, I'm looking for a religious exemption. Like, they can't just go, all right, buddy, see you on the other side. They got to go, like,
show me
something. What do you have?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's, I feel like you have to produce something, right?
I'm totally with you, but I think that's the Garrigos question, but I would imagine you not rejecting vaccines in the past, right? Like a flu vaccine or measles or mumps or something would submarine your case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why all of a sudden are you so into this religious exemption?
It's called born again, bitch.
There you go.
I got born.
That's
look
right.
At you.
You got dunked in the holy water.
I realized, man. I went down there with MC Hammer.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of who gets dunked.
Is in the river. Does? Yeah, he's like a minister.
Great scene in Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
I think Whitney Houston's, what's his name?
Bobby Brown?
I think Bobby Brown. I think
a
few of them made the pilgrimage and took the dunk. That's a good shot, though. Cook that up.
That's real good.
Get out by the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Get a guy dressed in some religious garb and have him like standing in the background, you know, dunk Sonny in there, get a shot of that.
You could do this in the backyard.
Yeah, I could cook this. Yeah.
This is great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Dr. Oz in the news, he's running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania.
Can I say this about Dr. Oz?
Please do.
Is it possible to have too good a jawline?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like George Clooney's got a great jawline. Dr. Oz has a better jawline, but maybe too good.
Too much. Yeah, I
is
think
it too good.
I think Brad Pitt is the exact access point before you go too far.
Yeah, and
I think
Jared Leno, your car buddy, you could argue too much.
It's a lot of jaw.
It's almost too defined.
Yeah,
like it's
caricatured.
Too perfect.
Yeah,
we're looking at a thirst trap.
Yeah, I mean he's in phenomenal shape, but what a he's got the jaw for politics.
He does.
It juts out.
And
because they always take the horrible picture of the guy with the double chin, because when they're doing the ad campaign against you, it's always the guy talking at
from
the rally.
Yeah,
and they got
the camera's the, front they,
yeah,
coming
the
up.
Guy's down on the
he's
down on the floor of the gymnasium. Yeah. You're up on the stage. You're just doing this thing. You look down. It looks like you fucking triple chin. And good luck.
Look at that. And you know how you like to say as a former prosecutor, I think we should add in what Dr. Mehmet Oz does.
Mm-hmm.
Cardiothoracic surgeon.
Yes.
Who would check that?
Well, I don't know how to define it.
Well, why? Because everyone wants to sound smart, you know, like they're not going to ask. Cardiothoracic surgeon, that's the line of work he's in. And television
personality.
I wonder
if he's ever been to a dinner with Dr. Jill Biden.
No.
they chopped it up.
Yeah. He's not really a doctor. He's on TV. Well, he's going to run as a Republican for the occupied seat of Pat Toomey, who's retiring. And by the way, he now cannot... His show can't air in several places now, and this will make sense when I explain it. Fans of the show won't be able to watch it in New York or Pennsylvania because of where Fox, which distributes his talk show, has pulled it off the air in those places because the FCC's equal time doctrine. So they don't want to give him an unfair advantage, and they also don't want to give an hour of free TV to 14 other candidates. So they're just pulling it in Pennsylvania and parts of New York because you can see – you get the Pennsylvania feed.
And enter Chris Cuomo.
That's
enter into the Fox family now, doing his 1 hour daytime. He thought he just did politics.
Can you imagine?
He works out a ton. He could do a whole lifestyle show.
You know, Jada Boomrod.
That could be his first guest. Jada could come on there. Jada Boomrod could come. Tarara, his daughter, could come on. She could come on as well. They could do a whole fitness and wellness thing.
Wow.
I mean, it's not just about reading the prompter and spitting out the news.
Jada Boomrod.
That's right. He could do that.
Yeah, that's good for him.
Kind of cross the aisle a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, go over to the Fox affiliates.
You have to know someone who knows him.
I do not.
Oh.
Drew must know him.
I don't. We're talking about Oz or Chris now. I know.
Well,
confused.
Either Jada Boomrod. How dare you?
I don't know. I should ask
about Oz.
I should ask Drew. But yeah, Drew probably knows Oz.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I please just tell you who the cast is for Facts of Life? Because know now. This is big news.
The Jimmy TV show?
Sorry, buried the lead. Should have led with this.
Yes.
This is Jada Boomrod. He is playing Tootie. Okay, so we know who it is now. Anne Dowd from Handmaid's Tale. She's Mrs. Garrett. But the rest of the cast, this is for the Live in Front of a Studio Audience series. Jimmy Kimmel and,
Norman Lear.
Thank you, Lear.
Right.
Producing. Will star. Blair Warner will be played by... Jennifer Aniston.
I was about to say Jennifer Aniston because I know she's a friend.
Yep.
Seen her.
Well, these aren't
a few
kids.
Times.
In this.
No, it's like the different strokes. Gabrielle Union is Tootie. Catherine Hahn is Joe.
Yeah.
And Alison Tolman as Natalie, and you'll know her. She is, well, if you watch the Fargo series, she's the Frances McDormand
character.
They're
smart to get Molly Ringwald to play Molly Ringwald.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, she's about the same age as all of them, and she established, and she was her.
That would be a curiosity factor for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, just having Molly Ringwald just inexplicably being her character from season one.
Nobody's saying anything. It's going to be so good. And you can watch it the next day on Hulu.
I watched a season one the other day, and then I watched a season four.
Four, do they have the store yet, the gift shop with George Clooney?
I don't think they'd opened... Edna's Edibles.
Yeah, thank you.
No, ask me the middle name of my son. it's a weird thing, which is they'd all really packed on a few lbs from season one to season three. Like it was if you hop from season one to season three, you'll see some lbs on there. And then somebody said they should open a bakery.
Oh no,
yeah,
which seems like it was.
By the way, by the writers.
I'll be one of the writers, and you be spitballing. This is what it should have sounded like for season four.
All right, boys, season four coming up, big hit show. But we got to figure out new plot lines. What are the girls up to this
year?
Jesus
Christ, they're all grown out of their Catholic school girl. Right. You're like, hey, how about they open a bakery?
They're getting a little older, a little more mature.
Edna's Edibles. Yeah, why don't they just carb load while we're at it?
Lampshade.
Oh, by the way, they can eat in between takes.
That's
a muffin. It blew the pitches up even more. Yeah.
Dave, you are no help.
It had to be a joke.
Yeah.
But they went with it.
They did. And by the way, Caitlin, do you have the picture, the promo picture? It's fantastic. So this is kind of like the pencil drawings of the – John Lithgow and Kevin Hart and everybody doing the dual.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and they'll throw a party, like a viewing party at this party house that I don't even know the nuts and the bolts of it, but I get to go to a party.
Oh, all right. You're going to have to get
When's it air?
December 7th.
Oh, okay.
That's like next week.
That shit.
A few days from now.
Yeah.
All right. Now we can bring it home.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Am I pretty enough for you now, Mom?
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, then there's Hyundai Tucson. They questioned everything to create the best Tucson and Santa Fe ever. Every inch has been reimagined, completely redesigned, resulting in the best SUVs loaded with innovation inside and out. You learn more. HyundaiUSA.com. All right. Some tickets left for TJ Miller and Brea coming up December 15th. We'll be taping the show for the Daily Wire, so you can come on out and see Truth Yeller there. And you can pick those shows up. Watch those shows at dailywire.com/Adam. Also, Chassis, our channel 687 on Pluto TV. It's got all our movies there. So if you want to see a special, you know, Shelby American or Niki Lauda or any of these interesting stories, they're all there. They're all free. Mitch album, everybody. The Stranger and the Lifeboats available now. And until next time, this is Adam for Mitch and Gina and Bald. Say it. Mahalo.
Well, Mitch is gone, but this is God.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Gina Grad's on the podcast, Easy Listening. Paul Bryan's on the film ball. The rest of us are on the water cooler. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man in Brea. Two shows coming up a week from Wednesday. 2 weeks from now at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.